broke loose between the benches. You saw Witkowski was still yapping at the Flames bench, and we have just seen a brawl, including Mantha on top of Travis Hamonic in between the benches.
All right, and we were discussing that a little while ago as we wait on Alex Anthopoulos, new general manager of the Braves, on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Ray Ferraro in about 15 minutes prior to the Leafs-Devils game without Austin Matthews tonight, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. And we were talking about Luke Witkowski, who Gallo referred to as an idiot, who picked up 37 minutes in penalties. I said it was like a Chris Nyland-like night that I can remember. And somebody confirmed that Chris had 42 penalty minutes in one game versus Hartford in 1991. Witkowski had 37. So he had two game misconducts, a misconduct, a major, and an instigating minor. 37 minutes. The record for one game was held by Randy Holt, former defenseman for California and a bunch of teams. He had 67 minutes in penalties in one night. Welcome back. Let me introduce, by way of introducing a good friend of the show and everybody from around here roots for, and he has just returned to the highest level of his profession. One of the best baseball writers in America is Jeff Passan, who wrote 3 days ago, Alex Anthopoulos bet on himself when he left Toronto's GM job, nearly won a World Series in Los Angeles, and now inherits a farm system with the best prospect in baseball and the deepest well of pitching talent. Absolutely the right guy to right Atlanta's ship of dysfunction. Congratulations and welcome back, Alex Anthopoulos. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks, Mitch. Glad to be back on with you guys.
With Mitch Gallo and Rod Francis as well. When did you first discuss seriously the possibility of taking over in Atlanta?
So we were we obviously had game one and two of the World Series in L.A. Andrew Friedman got a call from John Hart with the Braves right around, I think, the day of game two, and they wanted me to come in to Atlanta just to talk about the job between game five and six, so on the Monday. We played the Astros in game three, four, five, and then went to Atlanta on Monday and talked to them, and 2 weeks after, they offered me the job, and it's been go, go, go since.
And how many of these have you gone through?
You know what? There were some things that came up last off-season, potential opportunities, and probably without getting into detail, I think, you know, there were some things that were out there and maybe to consider, and I think we just moved to L.A. We were getting settled. We liked it. It wasn't, you know, for me, I needed to get excited right away, and maybe it just wasn't the right time, maybe not the right spot. But when this came up, I was very intrigued. And then after meeting with them and spending a night with them, I was very excited and really optimistic, hopeful. It was a long two-week wait, I was thrilled when I got the call Sunday afternoon and worked out a deal within a few hours, and then was on a plane to Atlanta the next morning at 6 a.m.
It's a general manager's job, a head of baseball ops job in Major League Baseball. There aren't that many of them, so obviously that's first and foremost. But what specifically are you most looking forward to in this new job?
Well, I think the big thing is when I came to Los Angeles, when I left Toronto, I didn't have any expectations that I would be a general manager again. I was fine with that. I was at peace with that. Obviously, when I made the decision in Toronto, I had to be prepared for that. And obviously, in being in Los Angeles, I loved it. I loved who I worked with and for, and great team, organization. But really, I mean, the more I work in sports, and I think you could say this for any job, the people you work with and for every day, that's what makes it really enjoyable. So, you know, the appeal for me about Atlanta is the people that I report to, the people that I work with. Terry McGuirk is my direct report. He's the chairman and the CEO of the ball club. I had heard a lot of good things about him. Then when I got a chance to meet him and sit down with him and talk to him about the ball club, it felt great. And just had a great first impression of him. And I just thought, wow, this guy would be a great individual to work for. And then obviously you have the benefits of the city. For my wife's family, 2-hour direct flight to Toronto, for them to be able to go back and forth, being back on the East Coast certainly helps. And then obviously then you look at the talent across the board is certainly great. But first and foremost, who you work with, who you work for, that was going to be the driver of anywhere I went, because I had it as good as I thought I could here in L.A. with the individuals I work with and for, and it was going to take something very compelling, and I found that here with the Braves.
Well, we talked to you, obviously, just ahead of you formally joining the Dodgers organization, and like that, you get to experience a World Series at Chavez Ravine. What was that whole experience like?
That was great. I mean, I remember just getting into the World Series. It felt like for me, you know, even though we had big expectations, found money, I just was so thrilled. You never know. You know, you go through your career, and, you know, you think, am I ever going to get to experience a World Series? And finally being able to get there, I was thrilled, you know, and I just felt like, hey, this is house money. It's great to be here. But then you get in there, you certainly get competitive as well. You want to win. Clearly, that takes over fast. It's interesting, as excited as I was to be in the World Series and great sense of accomplishment, you lose the World Series, you kind of lose that perspective because you're that close. It's game six. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and you kind of, and maybe it'll take a little time to be removed from it, but it doesn't feel like as good of an achievement as it did at the time when we finally got in. So, but it was great. The experience was great. The number of media was incredible to see. That was the biggest change from the NLCS to the World Series. I mean, foul line, from third base to first base. I mean, the media trucks, everything was all set up. That was really incredible to see.
With Alex Anthopoulos, he's now in charge of baseball operations for the Atlanta Braves on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch?
So the Braves were 18 games under 500 last season. Of course, Washington, it seems like their window is now. But how do you see the NL East, and how long do you think it's going to take you to help make the Braves competitive again?
So it's I'm not sure, and that's not because I'm trying to avoid it. Obviously it was a 72. It was a 72 win team last year. A lot of talent on the roster in the minor leagues. A lot of talent in the NL East. Like you said, the Washington Nationals have been tremendous. I mean, they're a team that we were worried about in LA going to the playoffs each year and having to compete against them. So they're not going away. They're very well run. I think you look at the other teams. They're certainly going to be on the rise. So I like where we're positioned for the long term, how quickly that's going to happen. I just don't know yet. I'm trying to get caught up on the talent, the players, the staff. And maybe the next time I come on the show, I'll have certainly more of a sense of, our competitive window and the time, what time horizon that we think that's going to arrive.
Are your core beliefs the same moving into this job as they were when you started in Toronto?
I would say not when I started in Toronto. I would say very comparable and similar to when I ended in Toronto, because I did feel like I evolved in that job quite a bit. And I think that's natural, certainly, when you go through experiences, being a general manager, going through some things. I really felt like at the end of 2014, that offseason, we signed Martin, we traded for Donaldson, traded for Estrada, just a lot of the things we were doing, I think we finally had more of a theme. We were more specific about the type of player we were trying to get. And even going into that summer, I just felt like we had finally started to identify a little bit more what we wanted to do as an organization. And then, look, being in L.A. the last 2 years with Andrew and Farhan and being able to work side-by-side with them day in and day out, there's no doubt I've been exposed to some new things and learned some things. And I always admired those guys from afar. So I never thought in a million years I'd get to work with them. So I think I would say things I learned at the end of my time in Toronto, things I learned in L.A., certainly I expect to bring those things to the Braves.
So, Alex, obviously you're from Montreal. You came up with the Expos. And a lot of us, when we heard the news, we said, oh, Alex, no, not the Braves. You get that, right?
Yeah, no, look, I certainly do. And you know what? It's eerie because I talked about it at the press conference. We all know the Expos were not on TV a lot, but we had TBS at home. I watched a ton of Braves games. And, I'm at dinner at the general manager's meetings with Terry McGuirk and John Schuerholz as well, and I figured at some point we'd get into this conversation, but I wanted to slide in the 94 team. And just to get a sense it's having a guy like John Schuerholz there, and he's been great. I mean, just the advice, the thoughts, you have the success that he has, and he's available to me anytime, and it's pretty exciting to have that guy around. But just talking about being six games up and the Cliff Floyd home run off Greg Maddux, and he felt pretty strongly that the Braves were going to make a run and come back. So, And he told me I should talk to Bobby Cox about it. And look, from my perspective, as I'm sure you guys, I thought the team was just going to take off, and that's the I think it was a 6-game lead at the time.
That's right.
I thought it was just going to continue to grow. So I was, you know, I wasn't going to intend, you know, really debate him, but it was pretty interesting and really enjoyable to kind of go through, you know, some of those things. And as I get more familiarity and certainly spend more time with the two of them, I'll definitely want to get their take on the organization. Certainly the time competing against the Expos, some of the players. I mean, it's really an honor for me to be able to work with those guys.
Yeah. And by the way, we were at Cooperstown for the Tim Raines induction, and John Scherholz delivered maybe the best speech of the day. That was outstanding. Wow. as he described his career. And so that's the man that Alex Anthopoulos will be leaning on. We don't hold it against you. I'm not surprised it didn't take that long to become a general manager in Major League Baseball again. We wish you all the best down there, down south in Atlanta, Alex.
All right, guys. Really enjoyed it. Glad to be on.
We'll talk to you again when you get to know the players a little better.
Sure.
All right.
Glad to do it.
Appreciate it very much. Telling everybody that we would have come back. We would have come back. So I got a notice last night while we were sitting at Rubs celebrating Mitch Gallo's victory over Jason Rockman. It was Gallo's victory party. I got a notice that I was tagged by somebody on Facebook. Turns out it's John Wetland, who had just seen the movie The Perfect Storm that was put together. There were a string of Expos-related documentaries that came out within a 5-year period. The Perfect Storm was Sean Menard at TSN, and we, through Matthew Ross, we showed it downstairs here, and it's 30 minutes, but he had everybody when the 94 team came back and was introduced prior to one of those games against involving the Blue Jays at Olympic Stadium. He was not supposed to be on the field. The shots that he got, if you haven't seen it, The Perfect Storm, it's only about 30 minutes, but it is extremely well done, beautifully shot, and some great responses from the members of the 94 team. So John evidently had just seen it and reached out to tell me how much he enjoyed it and how emotional it is for all those guys who really sincerely believe that they were part of something special. And I think I've said it before, and all you got to do is look it up, right? Look it up, as Casey Stengel used to say. Considering who those players were, how good they were, who was managing them, how the fans were responding, what that would have meant down the road to get out of that cement edifice, and specifically how old they all were and what they did once the 94 team was broken up. That was a dynasty in the making. And it's good to know when we had that Montreal Baseball Project gala night for the 94 Expos that some of us had an opportunity to express how we feel about what that team meant to us and still means to us. And now to take it to another level, as more and more of the guys are playing catch up and actually starting to see some of these documentaries, it was kind of cool. John's doing okay. He's living in Texas. Find him on Facebook. Tell him how much you loved him when he wore an Expos jersey. You know, I think it's time
to give this game a rag. The Habs Report with Dan Robertson is brought to you by BMW Laval, the largest selection of BMWs. Come test drive one today. BMW Laval, the winning experience begins here.
Antti Niemi is the newest Montreal Canadian. The 34-year-old goaltender is an insurance policy with Carey Price and Al Montoya out of the lineup with injuries. The 34-year-old has 227 wins in 427 games, and he won a Stanley Cup with Chicago 8 seasons ago. He also played with Jordy Benn in Dallas for 2 years. Here's Ben's scouting report.
He's a really good goalie. Obviously, he's proved it in years past, so he's just gonna find his way, and he'll be back to normal. You could see him out there today. His side-to-side game is unbelievable. He's just a sound goalie. I mean, if there's zero rebounds, one of the first guys on the ice and one of the last guys off. He's always been that way. He was that way in Dallas, and I'm sure I talked to a few guys he used to play with, and he loves being on the ice. But no, he's one of the nicest guys you'll meet off the ice, on the ice. He's just a good dude.
The Habs Report.
TSN 690. BMW Laval, where you'll find the largest selection of BMWs in Canada. Visit 2450 Boulevard Chamonix in Laval. BMW Laval. The experience begins here.
Preaching to the converted about Burger DeVille, the best burger in town. Fresh Alberta beef, never frozen because it's never in the